Hello, friends, and Tan and J-Man Show Nation, and welcome to the April 6th, 2026 edition of the Tan and J-Man Show, episode 490. For those of you at home keeping track, 10 away from the big 500. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Josh the J-Man Munt, sitting on the computer screen, a state away to the west from me on the central time zone. How we doing, J-Man?
The best time zone, central. Central time.
It's a pretty good one. It's a pretty good one.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to have to mow my grass this week.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking forward to it. It's been a nice couple months. I haven't mowed it since November. Like mid-November, I think, is when I mowed it last. And we have gotten 5 inches of rain over the past 3 days here.
So. Yeah. One next door neighbor mowed today. I think the other one's in the process. So now the pressure's really on me.
Oh, yeah.
To get mine done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I know that.
I'm going to have to set that deck all the way up and probably literally mow 2 times in like 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is long. That's the worst part about this time of year is getting back into the swing of things and mowing, but is what it is.
Yeah. And once you mow once in the spring, it feels like you have to mow every 3 to 4 days almost.
Yep.
Keep up with it.
But the rain's been ridiculous, like you mentioned. So,
yeah. I have a birdie bogey for you. And
yeah, I'm scared because you hinted at this one being hard a couple weeks ago. So
Evan's going to be mad at me because I'm not doing that question again. I'm going to do it next week. the next time I have a birdie or bogey, which will be in
will it even be time relevant by then?
No, because it's an NCAA tournament question, but I feel like it'll be all right.
All right.
This is a Big Ten basketball question. David Mirkovic was 7 points, 2 rebounds, and 5 assists away from becoming just the 6th Big Ten player since 1970 to have 500 points, 300 rebounds, and 100 assists in a season. Can you name the 5 guys that have done that?
No.
I can give you a hint, too, if you want it.
I'll think about it.
All right. Man. But birdie or bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place and Arlington Public House. Giretti's Place, small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Arlington Public House has great cuisine, cocktails, casual atmosphere, also located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Go check them out.
Yes, and Arlington Public House is back open. They opened Thursday this past week. So you got Giretti's open for lunch Monday through Saturday, breakfast Friday and Saturday, and Arlington for dinner Thursday through Saturday. They had a miso sea bass. It's a new menu item on the Arlington side. So, you know, I'm a big fan of fish, so I might have to go check that out. And they have online ordering now for Arlington. Their full menu is now online. You can order just with a few clicks. Once again, good thing that wasn't there when J-Man.
Very good. Very good. Ability to avoid talking to people was very nice for me once I moved.
Still is.
Right? Yeah, still is.
Man, we got a jam-packed show tonight. We're down to 2 teams in the NCAA tournament, Michigan and UConn. Michigan, who's making their 3rd national championship appearance in the last 13 years, by far the most in the Big Ten. UConn making their 3rd in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
They are a literal dynasty dating back to the late 1990s. Illinois put up a fight, lost to UConn. Arizona did not put up a fight, got blown out by Michigan. But I will let you take the floor here for a little bit and talk about your Illini.
Yeah. It was a loss where if you're going to lose, losing like they did is okay. They just could knock in shots. That was it. There was nothing like they didn't lose a heartbreaker like Duke did to UConn the week before. Didn't get embarrassed like Arizona did. So if you're going to lose, I'm okay with the way they lost. And honestly, the loss hasn't affected me at all. Didn't even – I didn't lose sleep over it, nothing. And I'm grateful for that, because if it was a heartbreaker, I would have been thinking about that for years. And also watching Michigan just destroy Arizona softened the blow a little bit too. Cause I'm like, eh, I don't know.
It would till they turn around and lose the night.
Yeah. They, probably rear its ugly head. I don't think they came out nervous or anything, which I was worried about that. Cause they came out tight and nervous against Iowa in the Elite Eight, got down 12-2. I didn't get that vibe from them, which I was happy for. They did get down 18-9 within the first 7 or 8 minutes, but then fought back and took a 22-21 lead and had multiple opportunities to extend that lead. And they just, again, could knock in shots. And I think a lot of it has to do with playing in a football stadium. Neither team shot very well. UConn, I think, ended up shooting 35% from the floor. Illinois was 34-35% from the floor. Difference was UConn knocked in 36% of their threes, as opposed to Illinois, who shot 23% from three. You know, those are – you flip a couple of those, and you're probably winning the game. Very happy, obviously, with the way the season went. Making a Final Four run is huge. There was, they said, 40,000 Illinois fans in a 75,000-seat stadium. Obviously, you can fit in more in a basketball setting there at Lucas Oil. But the fan base showed out. They just didn't play very well. And credit UConn defensively. Their lowest three-point totals over the past three seasons have been against UConn, all three of them. 62, 61, 52. And so Dan Hurley kind of has Underwood's number. And unfortunately, I don't think this UConn team is all that great either. Yet here they are in a national title game again. They obviously have
haven't had the easiest path to get there.
No.
UCLA, yeah. Michigan State, Duke, and Illinois. They beat three Big Ten teams. So
yeah.
that's on their side going into tonight. I think they're 5-0 on the year in the big against the Big Ten, if I'm not mistaken. That's more conference wins than some of the teams in the Big Ten had.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously Hurley's probably the best coach in the country at this point. Especially if he wins tonight, I think he'll cement himself as the best coach in the nation.
If he wins tonight, he might cement himself on the Mount Rushmore of all time.
Maybe already.
Getting close.
Yeah, which is crazy. And there's all this talk about blue bloods and all that. UConn's a blue blood.
Yes,
you cannot convince me otherwise. They can replace Indiana. People still consider Indiana a blue blood. They're not a blue blood. Not anymore. People can still say Duke's a blue blood. I'd have a hard time saying Duke's a blue blood because they've only won championships with one head coach. That's it. Mm-hmm. No one else. And they haven't won anything in 11 years now. Kansas, still a blue blood. Carolina, they're still blue blood, and they hired a new coach today, and we can talk about that a little bit later. But UConn is the gold standard in college basketball, really this century, I'd even say. I mean, they've won how many national titles have they won this century? Five?
Yeah.
Or and six. The other one was five or six.
I mean, they won 99, but then since 2000, they won 04. 2011,
yeah, 14.
2014, and then those two last three. Back.
Yeah, so yeah, if they win tonight, it'll be six titles in 26 years, which again is 23-24%, something like that, of the national title games in this century. They are, and they've done it with three different head coaches: Jim Calhoun, Kevin Ollie, and Danny Hurley. Now,
and for the most part, they do it with their own guys. For the most part.
Yeah, they don't lose guys to the portal. They really didn't get a ton from the portal. They did get Terrace Reed 2 years ago. It's a big part. Alex Caravan playing his third Final Four in 4 years at UConn. I mean, all these guys have been there for a while, and they've won a ton of games. And the experience factor, I think, played a role in that.
Sure.
And, They were able to make some plays down the stretch. Illinois would cut it to four, and they'd come down and get to the free throw line. They only missed, I think, one free throw on the game. And then, obviously, the one thing Illinois does very, very well, as everyone knows, is rebound. And they gave up an offensive rebound with a minute left, down four. Mullins hits three. That was kind of the dagger.
I think I heard you yell.
No, I was very quiet, actually. Okay. For a majority of the game. My wife might say otherwise. There were a couple times where I let out some words, but
or I thought maybe not a yell on that rebound, but I envisioned you going like, ah, or
something, kind,
you
know, of, kind, yeah, of
like, because you kind of knew that was the,
yes, slow. Yeah, when the ball went in, well, when they gave up the offensive rebound,
right, like,
they're going to take 20 more seconds. It's right, going to be under 40 seconds left in the game. Even if you get a stop, you're down 4.
Right.
But then he knocks in the 3 pretty quick in that. And then Wagner came down and answered. So it's almost like, you know, they did end up getting the rebound and all that. It kind of balanced itself out. But, yeah, it was – I was just bummed, as you sure were on this show last week, you know. Just sure bummed because you don't know who's going to be back. I think as of now, it seems like there's a good chance to get everyone back that they should, which if they do that and then go out and get a John Blackwell, which has been rumored that they are the top suitor right now for him.
I'd rather he just leave the conference.
Duke and Michigan are the other two, so we'll see how that goes for Illinois. But say they did that, they're probably coming into the year ranked in the top 3 or top 1, who knows, which already makes me want to gag to even hear that. But
in the Final Fours in Detroit.
In the Final Fours in Detroit, so it's not far too away. Far away either, so it's obviously further away than Indianapolis, but so we'll see what happens. There's a lot of offseason left, although the portal is only open for 2 weeks starting tonight at midnight, so we'll be seeing a flurry. And still, I still hate it. There's no reason why a guy like John Blackwell, who's, you know, came into Wisconsin as a low ranked 3-star and worked his way up to being one of the best players in the Big Ten, should be transferring. It's all about
that's
money.
Happened to Wisconsin a lot the last couple of years.
The funny thing is they lose AJ Store and he gets worse. Chucky Hepburn, he gets worse. And Wisconsin's been pretty consistent. Wisconsin has been helped by it too, with Nick Boyd coming in from San Diego State. But the one thing Blackwell said is he wants to go to a team that has a chance to win a title. And it's his final year. And he obviously doesn't think Wisconsin can do that, right, which they haven't really shown they can under guard. Never making it even to the second weekend, but still, that's the kind of guy it seems like should stick around for a fourth year and stick it out. But it is what it is in today's college basketball.
And the portal, we've talked about this before, but it's killing them in majors. Just killing them.
I mean, we saw the very few lack of upsets. I mean, there was only one 12 seed or worse that won a game, and it was High Point over Wisconsin. If you have a great year at a mid major, you're jumping up a level. And it's to the point where mid majors need to get in on like high major players that are transferring after, you know, sitting the bench for a little bit, and maybe they strike gold that way. But, and again, there's a lot of guys going into the portal that don't even know that they've played their last minute of organized basketball.
Yep.
So,
there's going to be a lot of stories, articles, and books written.
Oh yeah.
In the coming decade about this era, because it's a sad situation for a lot of guys that we don't hear about that don't end up anywhere, or after they're done playing college basketball are no longer financially set, or pretty quickly aren't financially set and don't have anything to fall back on.
Yeah. Illinois has been bit by the portal. And of the guys that I was like upset they lost, I would say only one guy's ended up in a situation where he's in a better spot, and that's the guy playing tonight for Merez Johnson. I was really bummed. That was probably the hardest I've taken a guy transferring away, was Merez. But again, it worked out well for both sides. Illinois gets David Mirkovich, who had a fantastic freshman year. Merez Johnson had a great year as a sophomore, and now he's in a national title game and worked himself into a potential first-round pick this year. I was really, really bummed when Jaden Epps put his name in the portal, because I thought he had a good freshman year, had a chance to be a very good player, and he wasted away on 3 really bad teams, 2 with Georgetown, 1 with Mississippi State. So grass isn't always greener.
Nope, it's really not. It's really not. And I still, maybe it's more hopeful, I think within the next 5 years, there'll be regulations or some more guard guidelines and guardrails, and get this thing figured out a little more to make it more even more balanced across the board, I guess, even though it's supposed to be balanced, but it's not.
And we thought revenue sharing would help curb some of the money stuff, which it might have a little bit, but it hasn't curbed anything with the transfer. There was a guy that a lot of people were talking about. He made an all Big East team as a freshman point guard for Villanova. I mean, had the keys to the castle there, is making a ton of money there, and he's still put his name in the portal. Past couple days. So, and maybe he hates Kevin Willard, which a lot of people do, but
could be.
Well,
there's other programs too that haven't been making the tourney. Like Butler's seen it a little bit, but like Notre Dame right now.
Oh, they're shambles. Ravaged.
Northwestern.
Northwestern. And there was a report or a quote, I should say. I forget who it was that put it out. Maybe it was Jeff Goodman. Said that a Big Ten coach, or maybe it was Trilly Donovan, said a Big Ten coach has told him, if you're not operating with a roster at least $12 million, you're in trouble. And then I read like a few days later, Northwestern can only run about $4 to $5 million. And they've been hurt. I mean, Arrington Page gone, Trey Singleton gone, two young guys that look like they had a ton of promise for Northwestern. And maybe it's time for Collins to maybe look for a different job somewhere.
I could be wrong, but I have a tough time thinking Purdue's at $12 million.
I think I read that Illinois was at like $8 to $9 million this year.
That's where I was thinking Purdue might tops at like eight, but that would be even stretching it maybe. I don't know.
Obviously, you see teams like Kentucky that's very public, 21, sure. 22 million, well, whatever. Like,
and then
that.
It's embarrassing when it's public and you get flame out in the second round.
Yep. You still got to get pieces that fit together. Mm-hmm. And that's what Matt Painter's done a very good job of. Brad Underwood's done a great job. Dusty May's done a great job of. So,
well, I think that's why Indiana fans are skeptical right now, because they've spent a bunch of money past few years and it hasn't gelled. Yeah. And I saw a great conversation online last week about how they haven't had a good point guard since Yogi Ferrell. That was a decade ago. And a point guard's so important to your team and your program. If you can't get that, you're not going to have the other pieces fall into place.
Yep. Just ask Johnny Gross. Instead of Jalen Brunson, we get Jalen Tate there in Illinois.
And he's got a new job.
He does, yeah. He left Akron, where he was making $800,000 at Akron, which I thought I think he was the second highest paid coach in the MAC. Frank Martin was number one at UMass, 1.2.
I didn't even know he was at UMass. Wow.
Yeah. Travis Steele, who had, you know, the great year at Miami of Ohio, was only at about $400K, which is very good money, but it was lower end for the MAC. But, yeah, Johnny Gross left for College Charleston, which obviously – I mean, you've been to Charleston, South Carolina. I never have. I've been to Akron, Ohio, though. It's a dump. Right. So going to Charleston, and you don't have to compete – revenue sharing wise with football at college.
Well, and you can win there. People have proven you can win there. And if you win there, then you get more eyeballs from some of the big boys than you would
look at Akron. Yeah. Pat Kelsey, who's now at Louisville. He was at College of Charleston. Chris Mack just took the South Florida job. He was at Charleston. So
I remember two
years ago that somebody was predicting Charleston to become the next Gonzaga on the East Coast Gonzaga. So, we'll see if that ends up happening, but good for John. I thought he might get a bigger job, and I don't know if it's a massive upgrade to go to Charleston basketball wise than Akron, probably a little bit, but another step for him. And I mean, he's done a heck of a job at Akron, that's for sure.
And before we get into talking about our predictions for tonight's national title game between Michigan and UConn, you mentioned it earlier, still a blue blood, we'll say. Blue blood open head coaching position has been filled today. UNC North Carolina filled their position with an NBA coach, but not the NBA coach a lot of people thought would be filling that position.
Yeah, Mike Malone, who got fired by the Denver Nuggets 2 years ago now, or was it last year that he got fired?
I think it was during the season last year, if I'm not mistaken.
He and their general manager did not get along in Denver.
Yep.
He'd spent a lot of time in North Carolina, though, on campus and at practice, because his daughter's a volleyball player for University of North Carolina. And his daughter's boyfriend is one of North Carolina's best players, Derek Dixon, I think his name is. But he just put his name in the portal today. So that's going to be awkward or weird. It could – maybe they strike gold, or it could be an absolute disaster, and I'm leaning towards disaster. You don't see a lot of NBA guys come in and have success. Now, college basketball is way more like the NBA now, where every single good program anyway has a general manager, essentially be able to go get players and scout and do all that and deal with negotiations and stuff like that. So he obviously won an NBA title.
With a franchise who had never even been to the championship before he got there.
They also had the best player in the world.
That's what I was going to say. Helps. They also, yes. And
a very good team. It seems like they wanted Billy Donovan, but they panicked after Dusty May and Tommy Lloyd said no. And so they just hired a guy that was already spending time on campus.
Well, if Billy didn't want to give up on the Bulls, they were going to have to wait another week. And by then the portal's almost closed. Up. Then you're about behind the wheel. So.
Yeah. And the Bulls, speaking of the Bulls, they fired their entire front office today, which is much needed, but it sounds like they're going to do everything in their power to keep Billy Donovan around in some role. So he might be bumped up to a Brad Stevens-like position there, which would be hard to compete. North Carolina wouldn't be able to compete with that. I mean, it's the Chicago Bulls. But I'm interested to see how the Malone situation, who hasn't coached college basketball since 2000. So it's been 26 years. I didn't even know he
coached in college.
Yeah, so. He was like a grad assistant or a lowly assistant somewhere. North Carolina's kind of maybe not on its way out, but they're definitely not what they were. And this could further cement themselves further behind Duke, that's for sure.
I guess one interesting part of it is another domino doesn't fall with this hire. I mean, he was unemployed working for, I think, like NBA TV or maybe ESPN once in a while for NBA coverage. But it's not like an NBA job just opened up or even another college job. But do you think another college job, do you foresee one opening? Could somebody go to the NBA for a job that we're not even thinking right now?
There's been rumors for a little bit that John Shire could be a guy that the NBA takes a hard look at, which that would obviously open up the biggest job in college sports. One of the biggest jobs in college sports, definitely basketball. Also, yesterday when Dusty May said he was not going to pursue the North Carolina job, he made it very clear in a statement that he was not going to pursue any college basketball jobs. So it left people's mind open to wonder if maybe the NBA comes calling.
Pull a Harbaugh, win it all, and leave.
Maybe he'll leave Michigan basketball in a much better spot than Harbaugh left Michigan football. That's for sure. Dusty doesn't seem like an NBA guy, though.
No,
maybe that's just me. But I think with the NIL and all that, it's kind of leveled the playing field, and there are really no blue bloods. In fact, Ben McCollum turned North Carolina down because they called him and asked if he'd come interview, and he said, no, I'm going to stay at Iowa, which kind of surprised me a little bit.
Well, maybe he wants to ride this wave of momentum out at Iowa and see what he can do.
Hold a spot for Kansas till Kansas comes open, Kansas is not opening. That was a bold prediction, I think, I had 2 years ago. And it was kind of rumored that Self was probably going to step away, but he's locked in for another year, which is another surprising aspect.
Well, I'm going to whiff on my Izzo one. So
Izzo almost took the Suns job, it sounds like, last year. So maybe the NBA
been weird. Gone.
That would have been strange. I can't imagine.
Old, though. I don't know. I guess Larry Brown was old, too, when he had success. So,
yeah.
I don't know. But we might not be done seeing NBA jobs open. Somebody gets bounced in the first round of the playoffs, that job could open up. And
there are so many horrendous NBA teams.
The
tanking's gotten out of control. I know it's a great draft class, one of the best they've scouted. But the tanking's horrible. It's just terrible. And now you have guys like the Lakers. Luka Doncic's out for a few weeks, at least a few weeks. Austin Reeves out a few weeks. So they could be, maybe they'll move on from JJ. Maybe JJ will take the Duke job if Shire takes the NBA job.
I think Duke fans would like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm just glad. I guess I'm glad. We both can be glad that neither one of our teams are in that position of potentially losing their coach. I think we're pretty safe.
Yeah, in fact, Underwood has a non-compete with every other Division I basketball program, so he literally couldn't.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
All right. There you go. I don't think Matt Painter has that, but I don't.
Painter would have left by now if he wanted to leave.
If he wanted to. Yeah. There was years ago when we were in high school, I was always nervous, like, if he kept going on the trajectory. I kept saying North Carolina someday.
I remember that.
And then this opened up. I'm like, I'm not worried at all.
Yeah. In fact, he wasn't even mentioned because in years past, he might have been mentioned in passing, but I didn't even hear his name once.
He's probably made it well known that he's happy where he is. And, like, he has one beat writer to report to. He doesn't have 14 like he would if he was at UNC or something. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But who do you like tonight, Michigan or UConn?
This will be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week. I like Michigan by 15 or more. What they did dismantling Arizona with all that size. I mean, Elliott Cadeau shot 2 of 14 in the first half, and it came out that Dusty told him, you're not going to be able to throw lobs against this team, so we need you to just throw it off the backboard and let our guys get it. And that's why his shooting line was so bad, because they were technically passes, but they counted as shots. So Dusty's very smart. He put a basketball hoop in the middle of the big house and had him play outside to get used to the depth perception of playing in a football stadium. Smart. Yeah, give me Michigan by 15 or more. And that's part of the book it, too, that they win by 15 or more, not just that they win. J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers, Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561. Book it. Hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I felt dirty rooting for UConn. But,
you too.
I'm rooting for UConn. I know a lot of Purdue fans, like not on the message boards, but like actually know in person, are rooting for Michigan, want the Big Ten. I'm like, I could give a crap about conference loyalty.
One of Illinois' beat writers, Jeremy Werner, put out a poll today. Who do you want to win? And I think it was 51-49 Michigan. And I'm just like, I can't do it. Can't root for them. And Illinois fans hate Michigan too, but especially the old guys, the Big Ten loyalty is still a thing. It's not for me.
I mean, Michigan's been kind of the head of the class for the last 15 years. I mean, I don't know.
At least getting the title games, that's for sure.
I hope UConn wins, but I do think Michigan will win and I break that curse that the rival school, Michigan State, being the Big Ten school to win a national title back in 2000. I think that gets broken tonight. I hope I'm wrong, but I wouldn't count UConn out of it. I don't think. I mean, especially if Yaxel, which I don't think he's 100. They can say whatever he wants. He's not 100%, and he could hurt it even worse. I kept thinking that the other night. I'm like, you could tear this knee and ruin your NBA career. Yeah. But of course, you almost have to play through it at this point. It'll be interesting.
They probably didn't even need him to come in the second half, but they did. So that was kind of stupid.
They didn't, but yeah, we'll see. I think it'll be close at least a half. I don't think it'll be a runaway like Michigan, Arizona was a half. So,
yeah, I just – UConn's going to have to play their best game of the year, I think. They're not a great offensive team, and they're not all that big either. But Danny's pretty good at what he does.
In the moment won't be too big for him.
No, yeah, that's definitely for sure, which I could see Michigan being a little tight coming out, especially I'm sure they'll have a majority of fans for sure.
Sure the city of Indianapolis was disappointed to see Illinois get bounced because that would have helped, already did help over the weekend financially the city from an economic standpoint, but would definitely help tonight. And them losing alone took ticket prices way down. I'm sure they're glad at least Michigan won.
If
they were looking at a UConn Arizona title game, tickets to get in the door might have been pretty cheap.
Yeah, I don't even know if we would have seen a sellout if it was UConn, Arizona. I don't think many UConn fans made the trip. He's like, we just won 2 out of the last 3. I'm going to watch this one. I don't
think they have a huge fan base.
It's a small school anyway. Like, it's a small alumni base. It's a
small state.
In a small state. And Arizona's so far away, and they haven't been there in a while, so I'm sure
they brought more people than I thought.
Yeah, there's a lot of red. Definitely. But It'll definitely be pro Michigan in the stadium tonight. Hopefully UConn can find a way to get it done. I don't know. I'll probably watch some of it, but I will have a hard time
with you.
Time watching it. And it has nothing to do with Illinois losing. It has everything to do with the fact that Michigan's in it. If it was UConn, Arizona, I would have watched probably every minute of it. But
I honestly wasn't planning to watch any of the Final Four.
Yeah.
But I was so bored. I watched the majority of the Illinois-UConn game and then watched half of the Michigan-Arizona game because there was just nothing on. I was bored. Couldn't find any movies to watch. I think my wife was studying for an upcoming test she has, if I remember correctly. So, yeah. I'll probably tune in for a little bit tonight.
Yeah, I'll be checking the score. If it's close, I'm definitely tuning in late, but I hate Michigan so much. I can't stand Dusty, man. I think he's a slime bucket.
Oh, I think he is too. Interesting question I have for you, because you brought it up while we've been talking college basketball. You said Duke's definitely the biggest job in college basketball, and you thought maybe, you know, all college sports. What would be the top five jobs in college sports?
College sports. Well, Duke basketball, as I said. Ohio State football, I would say, is on that list. I would say Alabama football is on that list
just
now.
Just because of what Saban made it Saban, into.
Exactly.
Nick Small on Facebook said watch till halftime.
If it's still a game at half, I'll probably tune in the second. I'll probably watch more of the second half than I will first half, honestly.
Well, that's what it's nice to be on Central Time, too.
That too.
Notre Dame football, top five job in college sports?
Yeah, I would say Notre Dame football is probably a top five job.
Just from the prestige, TV contract, independent scheduling.
Yeah. Texas football is probably another one that's probably in the top five.
I give you some pushback on that one, but I've tried to think of one. Trying to think of one to slide in there.
I can't think of a basketball job.
Maybe Kansas.
Maybe Kansas. I don't think Carolina's there anymore. Maybe
no, Kansas. Kansas is basketball.
Yeah.
And I know. I could hear it. Not that it's a top five job. I hear Indiana fans. Well, we're basketball. No, you're not anymore. You just wanted to championship football.
And that, as I said, I think they've lost their blue blood status.
Oh, I do too.
Michigan football has a case as well. To be in that, although they've really only had one very good year over the past 20, but still.
The Texas one is interesting. Is it? Yeah. It's a better job, I'd say, than Oklahoma.
Yo, for sure.
Georgia.
Oh, maybe.
Georgia. Yeah.
That's a tough question.
LSU?
It seems like LSU's kind of fallen on hard times here recently. That was 7 years ago now that they won a title, but.
How long ago was it for Texas? They haven't won since Vince Young was there.
That's fair. It's just Texas, you know. That's football. LSU's a baseball school.
Florida State, not anymore.
No. Florida.
Miami, not Miami. Florida's really fallen off.
Yeah, they have.
Oregon, no, even though they're consistently good.
They've mainly been consistently good the past 15, 20 years. They didn't do a whole lot before that, I don't think. USC, if we would have been having this conversation 15 years ago, maybe.
Sure. Yeah, those are probably.
Not anymore.
Yeah. I think Texas is the only one I could kind of push back on. But
What about all the sports, like professional sports, your top jobs?
Well, I think the Yankees are still viewed as a top job.
Definitely.
They'll come with tons of pressure. Lakers.
Definitely.
You know, JJ got it. I mean, it's Celtics.
Say Lakers, Celtics, yeah.
I think it's dumb, but some reason the Cowboys is viewed as it. I don't know why.
They keep hiring idiots as head coaches, though.
Is the Steelers a top job?
I think they could have done better than Mike McCarthy if it was.
I mean, it's hard to argue, though, with the longevity of their coaches within the organization.
That's a good point.
It's
much tougher to do it in professional sports.
Oh, very.
They change coaches out every 4 to 5 years unless you're the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And you got to look at a lot of things. You got to look at, like, tradition. Green Bay's an interesting
Green Bay Packers,
one. Yeah, because they're so loyal.
New York Knicks, too, just because it's New York. It's more of a East Coast bias than it is anything. But
not the Bulls, though. That was all Jordan and Phil.
All Jordan, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Baseball, besides the Yankees, I wouldn't say any baseball. Baseball is just a weird sport.
Yeah, it is. And even the Yankees haven't done anything since, I mean, they made one World Series since 2009, but they lost it. They haven't even won championships since 2009. But it's just so, you know, when you get the historics in there. Yeah,
27.
I think, I think the Cubs is top five job easily in baseball, maybe top three.
Yeah, I would say it's top all sports. Top three.
Not the Nuggets. No, they've been good recently, but no, that's not viewed as a destination job. How about hockey?
Your guess is as good as mine. I have no idea.
I mean, one time the Red Wings were, but they've really fallen off.
Yeah. I saw Patrick Waugh got fired again.
Yeah, he did all right with the Islanders, but I think it was more because the Islanders wanted to go get this one guy who was available than anything. I knew if they waited, he wasn't going to be there. I forget who it was. Hockey probably not right now. How about UConn women's basketball?
I mean, I think REM kind of made it what it is. Sure. He embarrassed himself over the weekend as well.
My dad said Kentucky basketball.
Yeah, Kentucky basketball would probably be the second college basketball job I'd think
over Kansas.
Yeah, I would take Kentucky over Kansas. Although Kansas That's had fair. More recent success and they had a lot of success, but Kentucky, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, Kentucky and Kansas are pretty much the exact same. It's all basketball.
UK and KU.
Yeah. Just flip it.
Yeah. Both have had a sliver of success in football, but not near enough. Like they didn't do it. They've never done what Indiana's done, of course.
No.
Yep. So anything else college basketball related you wanted to?
Portal, as I said, opens at midnight tonight, and we'll see a flurry. It's a weird question to ask because I'm still getting used to it. What do you want Purdue to do this offseason? Because that's just not something you ask. At least you used to not ask. Your roster was pretty much set.
Retain everybody, which it sounds like they're going to do. I mean, barring a surprise, nobody's going to leave. It doesn't sound like Oscar Clough's probably going to get granted eligibility to come back. I don't think he's going to fight for it too hard either. It's going to be one of those things if they say no, he's going to move on. He's not going to fight it for it like the Tennessee quarterback and the Ole Miss quarterback.
Yeah.
The guy is how old is 24.
He? Okay. Yeah.
Or would be 24 next year. Yeah. So that's kind of a bummer. But assuming he can't come back, I would like to see them go get another big guy, a veteran big guy. Other than that, I don't really want to see him do anything besides retain guys. And they got a decent, at least on paper, core freshman coming in. And Luke Ertl, who won the three-point shootout on Friday on TV. I think it was Friday. Which is crazy because Ryan Klein won it. Fletcher Lawyer won it. Now Luke Ertl won it. So he's going to be the next hated Purdue guy. He led his team to a state title, too, in Indiana. Probably going to win Indiana Mr. Basketball. So I don't know if he'll start right away, but he's kind of hyped up. I think he's a top 50 in the country player. So they got some other guys. They got another 7-footer coming in. I think he'll redshirt, but I thought that about Zach Edey, and he didn't redshirt.
So. That's a good point.
But he would have met Harmstead. So.
Oh, man, he was so much better in Harms, too.
Oh, he was, but I'm just saying he would have.
Great. I know, that's crazy.
You know, senior Harms would have played over a freshman Zach Edey.
So. Yeah. Jacobson needs to add about 100 pounds. I would say.
Crazy thing is, he added 30 from last year.
He's rail thin, man.
So I think that losing that year of experience last year really hurt his development this year. So
he started game one his freshman year, didn't he?
Yep. Yep.
That's what I thought.
So I'm still willing to let it breathe and see where it plays out. I mean, he's technically only a redshirt freshman, technically. Yeah. But they also return a guy who played last year as a freshman. But played through injuries and then set out this year as a redshirt Raleigh Burgess.
Oh, so, I forgot about him.
Who was a 6'9"-ish guy. And then I'm excited about the addition of Caden Pierce from Princeton, who will probably start at the four. So, yeah, expectations will not be there, but I still think they'll be ranked on the back half of the top 25, if I had to guess. So, we'll see. But as long as nobody leaves, I'm pretty content.
Yeah, retention's kind of the name of the game if you want to be good. I mean, you look at the four Final Four teams, they retained at least 35% of their minutes from the previous year, which is huge. UConn retained the most, but I think Illinois was at 45% or 44%. And that's what they need to do this offseason too, is just retention. That's what they got to do. So,
what do you want to get educated?
I do, always.
About some sporting events that have happened on April 6th, brought to you by Blue River Digital. On this day, 1936, who won the third Augusta National Invitational Tournament, later known as the Masters?
Ben Hogan.
good guess. Horton Smith won his second Masters one stroke ahead of runner-up Harry Cooper.
Horton, here's a who.
With the Finnish champion Gene Sayers in third place. Who won the eighth Masters in 1941?
Ben Hogan.
Craig Wood.
Six
strokes ahead of runner-up Byron Nelson.
I've heard of Byron.
The Masters' first wire-to-wire winner. There's a lot of Masters. I wish you would have gave me this one today. 1947, the 11th Masters.
Ben Hogan.
Always a good guess. Jimmy Dermerat. I don't know. That's probably not how you pronounce that. Won his second Masters by two strokes over Byron Nelson.
Probably Demero.
Probably. You're probably right, actually. 1952, the 16th Masters. I think you've heard of this guy.
Sam Snead.
Oh. Won his second green jacket by four strokes over Jack Burke Jr. How about 1958, the 22nd Masters?
I don't know.
Arnold Palmer.
Oh.
Won his first of four Master titles, one stroke ahead of Doug Ford and Fred Hawkins. First of his seven major titles. On this day, 1973, New York Yankee Ron Blomberg became the MLB's first designated hitter. He walked on five pitches from Boston Red Sox in a game with the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park. Also on this day, 1973, Roberto Clemente had his jersey number 21 retired by the Pittsburgh Pirates. On this day, 1974, the Yankees played their first home game at Shea Stadium while Yankee Stadium was being renovated. They beat the Indians 6-1. On this day, 1977, the Kingdom opened as the Seattle Mariners lost to the Angels 7-0. Place used to get loud. Don't know if this is still the largest crowd ever to see a baseball game, but it was on this day, 1982 at the time, largest crowd ever to see a baseball game. Maybe it was, this was just the state in Minnesota was 52,279. Oh, it says in Minnesota. So I don't know if that means in Minnesota.
I think LA Dodgers hold more than that.
Okay, even back then.
Yeah.
Okay. So must have just been in Minnesota. Sure. That's weird. That's a weird, very specific one. Well, it's day 1992, the first game at Camden Field was played. The Orioles beat the Indians 2-0. Who won the 54th NCAA basketball men's championship on this day, 1992?
92, is that UNLV?
That was Duke.
Duke.
Duke beat Michigan 71-51 to win back-to-back titles. First time for Duke and Coach K. Who won the women's, the 23rd NCAA women's basketball championship on this day in 2004?
Connecticut or Tennessee, one of the two.
Connecticut beat Tennessee 70-61. Diana Taurasi was the most outstanding player for the second straight year. On this day in 2009, who won the 71st NCAA men's basketball championship?
That was North Carolina.
North Carolina beat Michigan State 89-72 for their fifth title. Ty Lawson at 21 points.
That was in Detroit, too, right?
Was that the last time Michigan State made the title game?
Yes. Yeah. Has to be. They've been
made Final Four since, but.
Maybe two Final Four since, right?
Yeah. But I know they made it in 2019. They made the Final Four.
They made it one stupid year as a 7 seed that made us all mad.
Yeah.
And they got beat, but.
On this day, 2010, who won the 29th NCAA Women's Basketball Championship?
2010, I'm going to go with probably Connecticut.
Connecticut beat Stanford 53-47.
Maya Moore.
Scored 23 points. And 2015, who won the 77th Men's Basketball Championship?
That was Duke over Wisconsin.
Duke over Wisconsin, 68-63. Tyus Jones had 23 points.
He was good that game.
On this day in 2020, the 149th British Open was canceled for the first time since World War II due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Royal St. George's went on to host the event the following year. And on this day last year, Washington Capitals left wing Alex Ovechkin became the greatest scorer in NHL history, passing the great one Wayne Gretzky with his 895th career goal in a 4-1 loss to the New York Islanders at the UBS Arena in Elmont, New York. And that is going to do it for the On This Day segment, which I brought to you, which I mentioned earlier. It's brought to you by, like as every week, Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on system, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you and your company with your digital marketing. All right, the Masters. It is Masters Week. It is a religious week for golf fans worldwide. Just something about it. The pageantry, the tradition, the only major that doesn't switch venues year to year. It's always played in Augusta, Georgia at Augusta National Golf Club. So with that said, I have a blind ranking related to the Masters. But we're going to have some fun with this one. I told my dad I had a blind ranking Masters, and he's like, Josh won't know too many golfers. I'm like, trust me, this will be fine. I looked at the menu items offered at the Masters this year, and they got one or two new items.
By the way, Rory's menu was garbage.
It was garbage. Yeah. I meant to bring that up. Maybe I will here in a bit. But you can get the whole Masters menu, every item, for $75.75.
Wow.
The whole menu. I mean, the most expensive thing on the menu is $6.
Love it.
And that's a beer or a wine.
You can't go to any sporting event to get a beer for under $6 these days.
Concessions and pretty reasonable merchandise, which I got some stats on merchandise here after the blind rankings. But I picked five things, and I want you to rank them 1 to 5 by how you would get them in order. Like, I don't know. Or you know how good they sound to you. You can do whatever your stomach's telling you.
I am pretty hungry. So,
starting with the chicken biscuit, it's on their breakfast item, which is only served until 10 a.m.
Chicken biscuit, man. I love a Southern Chick-fil-A style chicken biscuit. Yeah. I'm going to have to put that at the one spot. Have to.
One spot.
Yeah. Have to. Right. That sounds divine.
These next two are probably the two things, the staples they're most known for, starting with the egg salad sandwich.
Five.
For a buck fifty.
Five. I don't like egg salad. Nope. No, thank you.
How about the pimento cheese sandwich?
I love pimento cheese.
$1.50.
Man, that's some good bang for your buck there. I'm gonna put it at the three spot. I do like pimento cheese.
All right. We got two more sandwiches on here. Mm-hmm. How about the pork barbecue?
I'll put that at two. Definitely. Two. I love pimento cheese, but There's got to be some sort of meat on there for me to.
So what do you got left?
Four.
Well, I went with a sandwich, but it's a dessert. It's the Georgia peach ice cream sandwich.
Oh man, that's got to go four.
How about a re-rank?
I'm still doing chicken biscuit one.
That's fair.
I'm gonna do that Georgia peach number two. And then barbecue three, pimento four, and I'm egg salad
five.
A seven or ten.
Yeah. Here's their whole menu. For sandwiches, you can get egg salad or pimento cheese for $1.50. Pork barbecue for $3. Masters Club for $3. Doesn't say what's on it. Mm. Chicken salad on honey wheat, $3. Ham and cheese on rye, $3. Classic chicken, $3. Mm. Breakfast served until 10 a.m. You can get the Masters Blend Fresh Brewed Coffee, $2. Chicken biscuit, $3. Breakfast sandwich, $3. Blueberry muffin, $2.50. Fresh mixed fruit, $2.50. Beverages, soft drinks, $2. Bottled water, $2. Fresh brewed iced tea, $2. Crow's Nest, which I'm not sure what that is, but it has the Masters icon next to it, which there's only four things on the whole menu has the icon next to. So it must be some signature drink $6. Domestic beer, $6. Import beer, $6. White wine, $6. Snacks, apple slices, $1.50. Chips, plain and barbecue.
How are apple slices $1.50, but a pimento cheese sandwich is also $1.50?
You must get a lot of apple slices. Master's Candy Bar, which is new to the menu this year, $2.25. Southern Cheese Straws, $2.50. Cookies, $2. Georgia Pecan Caramel Popcorn, $2. And another one that has the Master's icon next with the Georgia Peach Ice Cream Sandwich, $3.
Man, that sounds good. George. Yep. I'd literally, if I was there like during breakfast time, I would literally go up and say, I want your entire breakfast menu.
Yeah. Maybe.
Can you hold the coffee.
I was going to say,
you hold the coffee.
Yeah. I might be right there with you. I might be right there with you. In the merchandise, this shout out to Fad Mooney, a loyal listener and viewer of the show. He sent me this on Facebook the other day. I'm like, this is too interesting not to share. The Masters sells tons of merch every year. Tons. Roughly year to year, it's about 70 million for the week. It's only open 7 days.
Wow.
There are online shops only open 7 days. It's, and then it's closed because they know how to market their items to where, you know, you can only get it this time of year type thing.
Supply and demand.
Better than anybody. Yes. So that's $70 million a week, roughly $10 million a day. That equals out to $1 million per hour, over $16,000 per minute, $277 per second.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yes. Yes. So I need to find, my dad got me an 07 Masters hat when he was there that year for the practice round the year. Zach Johnson won the green jacket. I need to find that. I got it somewhere, but I need to get that out because I feel like even though I've never been there, like you're wearing it, you either went there or you know somebody went there. It's kind of like a badge of honor type thing. You wear something with the year on it. So it's still at the top of my sports bucket list, but I don't know. I put my name in for lottery every year. And
One of these days,
maybe. So I'd even take a practice round, even though I'd rather go to one of the real rounds. About everybody I know has went to practice, but one of my best friends has been to one real round. So, yeah. But I won't, you know, beggars can't be choosers. I'll take whatever. But that is the blind ranking segment, long version this week. And I got to open up the read. You think I would know it off the top of my head after doing it a couple of years, but I closed it out of it and I don't remember it. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picking, or sales meeting in 2026, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. So you need to look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. You sticking with your one of your 26 bold predictions for 2026 as far as the Masters winner goes?
I am. Right. I'm going to make it a double book it week too because I forgot.
Put it back up.
Yeah.
And who is that? Who are you taking?
Bryson DeChambeau will win the Masters this year. I'm hoping to start another curse. Rory had that, you know, 10-year
schneid. Oh, my gosh. Yes, he did.
And he broke it last year, although I wish he would have kept it alive because, again, after seeing his menu, he didn't deserve the honor.
Which I'm going to bring that up right now. But, you know, it was interesting. I watched the Rory McIlroy Masters documentary, which is on Amazon Prime. It came out just recently. I watched it last week. I don't know if it was out last week or the week before. Take time out to watch it if you haven't already. It's really good. But, man, I was shocked when he was talking about, you know, couldn't win the Masters. That bleepity bleep, 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 bleep Josh Muntz. Whoa, wow, man. But Rory is fourth in the favorites. Bryson's third. Bryson has won multiple times on LIV this year. I like his game going in. So we'll see. All right. Got Rory's menu pulled up real quick. Appetizers. You got peach and ricotta flatbread.
I'd try that.
Rock shrimp tempura.
No, thank you.
Bacon wrapped dates.
Nope.
Grilled elk sliders.
I'd try it.
Yeah. First course, yellowfin tuna. I don't even know that.
Absolutely
word.
Not.
Something. We got Wagyu filet mignon as the main course.
Yeah. Do that.
Seared salmon, which I like salmon. Dessert, you got sticky toffee pudding.
I'd try it.
This menu's not as bad as I thought it was after looking at it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's not great, but I've seen some worse. I'm not going to try to pronounce the wines because then everybody...
Better than Bubba Watson's menu. Bubba's was
very, very simple. Tiger's from like 98 was still the best because he was like a kid practically.
Yeah.
It's like cheeseburgers and milkshakes. I'm like, that's in my alley. No, that was his full menu. I was making sure I wasn't wrong. You know, the AI thing gave me that was his full menu that I read. So... yeah, we'll see. But you think Bryson will be serving the menu in 2027?
I do.
I'd like to hear you say. Scotty Scheffler is the betting odds on favorite. John Rahm second. Liv John Rahm, who's a stud within himself. I feel like he gets more pumped up for the majors now than he used to show everybody what he can do.
Yeah.
Since a lot of people don't see him week in, week out. Bryson's third. Rory's fourth. Ludvig Åberg is fifth. He's always a popular pick. Xander Schauffele, sixth. Matt Fitzpatrick, who's been on fire. And Cameron Young, who's been on fire. They're tied for seventh. Tommy Fleetwood's eighth. Colin Morikawa, Justin Rose, ninth. Robert McIntyre right behind that. No Tiger in the field, of course. No Phil Mickelson. He pulled out last week. Got some personal stuff going on with his family. He's only played once this year on LIV, so... hope everything's good with him and his family there. Brooks Koepka's about eyeballing at 14th or 15th on the favorites. It'll be interesting to see what Brooks does. But my pick, and I should bring up our friend of the pod, Aaron Lynch's pick, too, because he'd be mad at me if I don't. He said if it isn't Bryson or Xander, it'll be someone from the European Ryder Cup team. Mm. I am going with I'm going to go Justin Rose, maybe because I just want to see him get it done after losing in the playoff to Rory last year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys I wouldn't mind seeing get it done. Almost picked Robert McIntyre. Patrick Reed's a sexy pick because the way he's played on the European Tour, or the DP World Tour, I should say, this year. Jordan Spieth's a sleeper. If he got his putter going, watch out for Spieth, but it's been so long.
I was going to say, it seems like we say that every single time.
Justin Thomas is way down there on the betting odds. I'd be tempted to take him for about 10 bucks, see what happens. I think it's going to be a good Masters. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you get your book at wrong. I'm going to be rooting for Bryson. But, I don't know if there's anybody. I don't want to see Rory win it back-to-back years. I don't know if there's anybody else I'm openly rooting against, but my boy Ricky didn't make it again. Five out of the last 6 years. No, he had a bad tournament last week. He had a win at last year week. It wouldn't even matter if he got second. He played so bad on Friday, he missed the cut. So hopefully he can find his way in the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, and the British Open, but we'll see. So I was going to save some time for you to talk baseball, but we're almost out of time.
Cubs can't pitch, can't field, can't hit. End the season now.
Plenty of games left.
4-6.
Plenty of games left.
Bottom dwellers.
Plenty of games left.
Baseball season. They suck.
Plenty of games left.
I need to come up with some nicknames like Frank the Tank does for the Mets.
He cancels the season after two games.
So. Yeah, I know. He canceled the season midway through the first inning of the first game.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. And then how he acts when they actually win a game. It's
yeah, I know. He doesn't say much when they win. But
no, he doesn't.
Chewing on his glasses. Yeah,
but, you know, at least he's consistent. And shout out to Frank Tank for losing tons of weight.
Oh, my gosh.
Pretty awesome.
I would say he's lost half of what he was. I would say.
His levels, all of his levels have improved. Yeah. But shout out to him for being a consistently just pissed off sports fan between the Dolphins, the Mets, and the Devils. He doesn't waver.
It's a rough life.
And the Knicks now that he, except he doesn't talk about them so much, but he did switch allegiances from the Nets to the Knicks a few years ago.
Anyway, David Mirkovich came close to becoming the sixth Big Ten player since 1970 to have a season with 500 points, 300 rebounds, and 100 assists. Can you name the five guys that have done that?
No.
Do you want a hint?
Yes.
They have all happened within the past 16 years. at least.
Okay. Denzel Valentine.
No.
Jeez.
That's a good guess, though. You have a shot at getting a par, at least.
I don't even want to guess anybody else because I'm going to, but I don't want to because it's going to be another no, and I'm just going to Braden Smith.
Nope.
I'm done. 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 Muting myself. I'm done.
All these guys were big guys. So your Denzel Valentine pick wasn't a bad guess, at least. Frank Kaminsky, one of them. Trace Jackson Davis. Biggie Swanigan. Draymond Green. And Ethan Happ did it twice.
I should have probably got like three of those, but yeah. Nope. I still have a college basketball question to go in 2 weeks. Yay.
5'9" Braden Smith was not on
no
the
idea.
List.
I have no freaking clue.
Thanks for watching the Tan and the J.
At least I still have a 2-stroke lead.
You do.
For now.
You do for now. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a great week, everybody.